Baseball's been on the brain, but we're getting closer to a football weekend, and for that, it's the Thursday touchdown.
All right, Lions bye week, but we're not taking a bye, and we got an absolutely huge weekend. Michigan State's at Oregon tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Tigers, Guardians. 7:30, Michigan at Washington, rematch of the national championship. And then everybody can go to the cider mill on Sunday, right?
Yep.
That's right, exactly. That's it. Get that token, guys out there, and make
fried,
it look like
fried donuts with Sam and
make
sugar.
It look like you're giving up a football Sunday, right?
Uh-huh. There you go. Score some points.
Michigan is currently a 2.5-point dog at Washington. Who would have thought that this that would be the case before the season? If Michigan loses this game, is David Hull's 6-6 prediction really on the table?
Sure, it's on the table. Everything's on the table. If they go there, and first of all, nobody would have thought that they would have been a dog in this game.
Right.
But if you can't throw the ball and you're counting on running the ball, hey, run games travel, defense travels, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not predicting that they win. We'll do that song and dance tomorrow. But Jed Fish has this team. You talk about a team that went to the transfer portal. 8 new players offensively. Returning receivers that are dynamic. Will Rogers has yet to turn the ball over himself. Now, they've lost 2 games. They're a team that could be 5-0, probably should be 5-0. They had a kicker, even though he's a good kicker. He missed 3 at Rutgers.
Yeah, but bigger question here is 6-6 is on the table?
6-6 is definitely on the table, because who do they follow after this? Okay, they got a bye week, and then they go to Illinois. I don't know if you saw Illinois play Penn State. Yeah, they only scored a touchdown, but they're good. Michigan State, I'm not ready to say anything about that game. Oregon at Indiana, like at Illinois, at Indiana, those 2 games are going to obviously play a large part into what this team is if they're 6-6. The only thing that's not on the table is, 11-1? They can't reach that if they lose this one, but... And I'm not saying that they're going to be a 10-win team, but they certainly could be anywhere from 5-6 wins to 10 wins.
Feels like a swing game. I know tomorrow's the song and dance, but one note from that dance. If you're an underdog against an unranked team as a top 10 team, that's a red flag. And if Michigan loses this game, that's a bright red flag. Oh, yeah. Absolutely 6-6. As ridiculous as that would be on the table.
All right, we're entering the second full month of the college season. Who won your September Heisman, and who do you think will end up winning the real Heisman?
Ah, the prestigious September Heisman. I would give it to Travis Hunter, playing 100-plus snaps, both sides of the ball. He's got 500 yards receiving, one of the nation's top receivers, and he's got a couple picks. He's doing what Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson did on steroids, playing as much offense as he is. That would be the September Heisman. Who ends up winning it? I bet it's Cam Ward.
See, I almost put Cam Ward as my September Heisman. For me, it's Ashton Jeanty, the running back for Boise State. 10 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. I mean, these are ridiculous.
Who did he do that against?
It doesn't matter. They're ridiculous. Well, so that's why it's a September Heisman. It's ridiculous numbers. Yeah, right. And everybody's looking at it going, oh my goodness, first of all, he's a running back. He's not going to win the Heisman. I think it ends up going to Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Milroe's got big opportunities. You're going to play at Tennessee, at LSU.
There you go. Heisman moments.
Dark horse could be Nico Iamaliava.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't felt this way in a long
time. I know you just like saying that.
I haven't felt this way in a long time, though. I think there's a clear-cut best college football player, and it's Travis Hunter. And I do think he should win it. And like you're going to have this dynamic maybe where you have an 11-1 Milroe versus an 8-4, let's say, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And that argument is going to be...
But it's not about being on the best team. It's who's the most outstanding player.
Which, yeah, they don't do that anymore. They give it to the best quarterback on the best team, which is just stupid. All right, let's revisit each of your college football playoff predictions from before the season. Quickly tell me your 12 teams right now and who you took out from your original prediction.
All right, so I don't remember exactly who I had in mind. I do know that there's one. I know that. So I can't tell you all the other teams that I have out. I know Michigan is not in my... college football playoff list, but I got Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Missouri, Boise State, BYU, Clemson, and Ole Miss. So I've got 5 SEC, 3 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 1 Big 12, and obviously Boise State gets in there as your conference champ, highest rated non-power 4 conference champ.
So I'm actually keeping 11 of my 12 teams, but the one I'm adding could win it all. So I had Miami and Utah as conference champs. I'm going to keep them in. I had Georgia, Bama, I'll keep them in. I had not Michigan, but Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State from the Big Ten. I had Notre Dame, who I will still keep in with the one loss. I had Liberty, who's undefeated from the group of five. I'm taking out Ole Miss, and I'm adding the Tennessee Volunteers.
That's a good ad. They're going to have opportunity. But here's the thing that I know we'll talk about this probably later in the week, maybe next week, but trying to find 12 teams that you believe belong in the playoffs is really hard because there's six, maybe five really good teams. And right now, filling out 9, 10, 11, 12, you're kind of like, yeah, here's your participation trophy.
But here's the reality. I don't know how many good teams there are, and they're going to play each other, and they'll settle it on the field.
Okay, thank you for the definition
guys,
of the playoffs.
Is, though, in college football,
but you're almost saying like you don't like the 12-team playoff. I do.
I don't.
I do.
The 12th ranked team all along every year is a 3 or 4-loss team.
Right.
And that's what we're going to get to because that's what has to happen, you know, especially with these teams even playing harder schedules now. Yeah. All right, John put the Lions at number 3 in his power rankings behind the 4-0 Chiefs and Vikings. Do you think the Lions will have to sweep the Vikings to win the NFC North?
No, if they split, they only have to make up one game the rest of the season. I'll say this, the Vikings are a real threat, but you don't have to sweep them.
I agree. You don't have to sweep them. They're hot right now. I do believe that they come back to earth. And when you look at what Flores is doing defensively, he's really good against the Shanahan style of offense. How is he going to be through the rest of the season? I think he's really good, but I think they're going to take some L's. And like Jim said, I think you split, you could still win the division.
All right, I'm rooting for the Jets though on Sunday in London, and I don't ever root for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but they're playing the Vikings, and we need to get a few Vikings losses at this point. All right, there are 13 2-2 teams in the NFL. I find the Packers to be the most puzzling of the bunch, having won both games with Willis when he starts, but losing both when Love starts. Who are the Green Bay Packers, and will they achieve preseason expectations?
Well, I guess it all depends on what your preseason expectations are. Second in the division, they may be able to do that. Their wins for Malik Willis are against the Colts, and they only scored 16 points against a defense that's really struggled. The Titans, who, I mean, Will Levis, here you go. I would like to give anybody that plays the game. And then their losses were against the Vikings and the Eagles to start the season. And I think they're going to be just fine. I don't expect them to be competing with the Lions for the division. Are they in competition with Minnesota for the second place? Absolutely. That's a dogfight.
I think they can make the playoffs. They could win a playoff game, but I don't think they're on the level of the Lions. I think they're a team that could finish third in the division and get in the playoffs.
All right, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, and Lamar Jackson have the 4 best NFL MVP odds right now. Would you take that group of 4 or the field?
I'd take the 4. I was looking at the field, who I'd be leaving out. I wouldn't get Joe Burrow. I wouldn't get Jared Goff.
Darnold.
I wouldn't get Sam Darnold. I would take the 4.
I'm going to take the field. And I, you're probably right that one of those 4 is going to win it. But you also have the sentiment. You have, if Joe Burrow comes back from 0-3 and they all of a sudden win and make it to the playoffs and they make a run in the playoffs, Joe Burrow would be a top candidate. Sam Darnold is definitely in that conversation right now. If they keep this going, at some point we have to believe in Minnesota. I kind of do, but don't count out Jaden Daniels. I know he's a rookie, probably going to hit that rookie wall at some point, but Goff is in that conversation as well, so I'll take the field.
Yeah, I think the Lions would have to get the 1 seed and go something like 14-3, which yeah. Some people think they might.
Could possibly be.
That's how he gets it. All right, just an extra point this week. Davante Adams is reportedly available via a trade. Where are the best fits for Adams?
The best fit is clearly Kansas City. There's no question about it. Especially when Rashee Rice goes down, that is by far the best fit.
Division? Would they do it?
The return will have to be more. And it depends on how desperate Kansas City is for a receiver, a replacement. I mean, Rashee Rice was already looking at a likely suspension at some point.
Right. And the reportedly now the Raiders are willing to pay some of the money. So, you know, maybe the Chiefs come in and say, you don't have to pay us.
Yeah.
Pay part any of it. We'll pay it all.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the cap space, though.
The likely fits the Jets because he wants to go to a quarterback that he has familiarity with, which I don't understand that. I go to who you think is going to win a Super Bowl.
Do they need to get a room, seriously? I mean, enough with those two together, Adams and Rodgers. It's like.
Or Carr. Like he says New Orleans is on his list.
To me, the answer is none of the teams mentioned. I think Kansas City makes a lot of sense, but I think there's a team that has a need and is desperate. Kansas City, they've won a couple Super Bowls. Buffalo needs a number one receiver. They are desperate, and Josh Allen isn't 40 years old. There's some upside for Davante Adams beyond just this season.
There's a different level of desperation. Kansas City Chiefs could do something no other team has done before in NFL history. They want to separate themselves from New England. Patrick Mahomes wants to separate himself from Tom Brady. You win three in a row, that does it.
What about one more team, Ravens?
Oh, well, they're not going to win anything, I was told. So there's really
well, they don't have them yet. I think that would change my – I would be allowed to change my stance on them, right?
Sure.
I had to bring it back. Come on. I mean,
somebody told me they were going to win anything.
I thought the Jets were going to be 6-2 at the bye.
They still can be.
I lost to Bo Nix at home.
Just can't lose
10-9.
Just can't lose another one.
All right. We're just having fun.
That's a Thursday touchdown. It's 97-1.